Our next speaker is coming up. Let me bring him in here into the stream. We have Kathleen and Klaus. How's it going?
Good.
How's great. It going? We are talking about Visual Basic on .NET 5, yes. Right?
Yeah, we are. The demo we're going to do is also going to might be interesting to C# developers. But overall, we're going to all the demo will be in VB. We're going to focus on VB here for a little while, and I am super excited to get started.
I am too. I'm going to drop, and the stage is yours. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, I just want to start out with a little bit of info on where we're at with Visual Basic. I think that's helpful. There will be a demo is the majority of this talk. But Visual Basic is the designer for WinForms was a little weak, to say the least, in 3.1. It worked pretty badly. And we got that fixed in 5.0. We'll talk a little bit about that. A couple of new things coming on. Microsoft is definitely investing in Visual Basic. We don't have plans to change the language itself, which means don't expect new keywords right now. We are doing that so that it stays the same between framework and core, or framework and what we now call .NET, in order to smooth that transition. And so we think that this for this time frame, that's absolutely the thing to do. However, we are investing in it, and that's very confusing, and I apologize for the confusion. But I want to talk about a couple of investments just really quickly. They're both behind the scenes, and you may never actually touch these features, but it's going to be important to you that they're there. One is support for default interface methods. That's consumption only. But if somebody who is running a third-party tool uses a default interface method, then you're not broken. So that's the key piece of that. And the second thing is we have a big new feature for Roslyn All Up, which is code generators, source generators. And we have source generators for Visual Basic. They're in the previews for 16.9. If you're interested, check them out. Feel free to reach out to me if you want more information. I'm super excited about that. So those investments are being made. The language evolution, so if you want your language to change year over year, that is going to be C# and not Visual Basic. But if you love Visual Basic, it's here for you. And that's what this talk is all about. And so I think I want to get back to that thing about the designer wasn't so good in 3.1, but it was for C#. And what was going on there, Klaus? Because you were right in the middle of that. So how come we didn't get him for a while? What was the issues?
Well, the major issue is actually that Visual Basic handles events very different than C#. Namely, we have in Visual Basic, we have the with events clause. And of course, we wanted this native VB style support for the designer again. So that was really something where we needed to do some dedicated additional work for VB. But good news, it's working now. It's working.
We need VB to act like VB, not to act like C# with less curly braces. So that was the work that we did. And so with that, do you want to jump into the demo, Klaus?
Sure. So one thing that's also very different from C# is the application framework, which we have in VB and which we enabled, I think, for 16.9. And the application framework, this is the thing that helps VB devs with a more easy access to resources and discoverability of features. And I think if we want to see a bigger migration wave begin from classic framework to .NET, the application framework is certainly one of the necessities we absolutely need to have. So the application framework also got specific improvements. And with that, I'd like to introduce the demo app for our talk, I think I need to share my screen now.
I think you do. That's awesome.
Just hold on a second. Share. So the solution that you see is an app I wrote over the holiday season until recently. And that app's purpose is to find actually duplicate pictures on big hard drives. And what it does are actually two things. First, it scans the directory in a path or the whole drive. It crawls through all the subdirectories and then spits out their sizes so I can see where the big files actually hide. And secondly, it can also find the duplicate images that are on the drive. So like if you have duplicate bitmaps, GIFs, TIFFs, PNGs, and what have you. And it's worth noting that I set this project up, which, by the way, is absolutely written in VB, up in a way so that it hosts actually two WinForms apps. One is based on Framework, and the other is using .NET 5. So what also important to know is both versions of the app share the exact same class libraries here in the project, and therefore they have the same code. So from the code points of view, they're just 100% identical. Now, I have both apps set up for start, which means if I do this now, go to debug and say start without debugging, then you can actually see the differences between the apps. If we now take a look at both apps positioned next to each other, because in .NET 5, we're not only using a modern font for the UI by default, we're also using a certain display mode, which is depending on the resolution on of your primary screen. So while .NET Framework apps by default don't opt into any DPI mode, and that's why this mode is called DPI unaware, .NET apps now by default run in a high DPI mode, which is called system aware, and that renders every aspect on the UI really, really crisp. So let me bring up this code file. So the .NET 5 version of the application framework extends the concept of application events by introducing a new one for setting the high DPI mode. And let's keep in mind, application events have actually always been the way to configure startup tasks in VB, or general tasks in VB rather. So besides the application events that I can show if I use this and open this, what we have, the no one startup, shutdown, network availability change, and so on, we now have a new event in .NET, which is called apply high DPI mode. And that one is actually really easy to use. The event is raised just before the first form gets displayed. And I now can hook up the event and setting the high DPI mode just by assigning remote that I want to have to the corresponding property of the event args. So here's the list of my options that I have. And so that is very easy to do. And the event is raised just before the first form gets displayed. And what's also important to know is that if I don't use that event, then by default, I'm getting the system aware mode automatically in my .NET app. So let's go back to the apps. Let's start with the framework version. This is the blurry one. then let's pick a folder, and we'll pick the whole drive to search. And once I pick the drive, it actually starts crawling the files through the whole structure and points out what sizes they have, and also it finds the dupes, which I can now already double click and see when I do it properly.
That is a great photograph.
Yes, it actually is, isn't it? My wife is a cat, she's a photographer.
Yeah, that's just an amazing picture. And this is in real time. So and we're sorry you're having to wait here for a second, but this isn't a video or anything else. This is real time. We actually don't know what the number's going to be. At the end, we know pretty close to what it's going to be, and we're almost there.
Yeah, the problem is that we're showing performance comparison while we're streaming. So it's
a little goofy.
The numbers might be a little bit off here, but
they're a little higher than what we saw earlier, but there we go. It looks like we're done.
Yeah, exactly. So let me close this again. Okay. And so now there's one more thing though. When I double click on one of these images, then that's a problem, yeah. Right? So there are only a couple of file formats that WinForms can display. So I guess we need to live with this, right?
So the WinForms actually can, it's the loading of it, correct? It's that WinForms ultimately displays pixels, but in order to load those pixels, it needs to know what those files are. And anybody doesn't recognize them. Those are the different file formats from different cameras. That's why there's odd extensions.
Exactly. And we would need the codecs for that in WinForms.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess we can't have everything in WinForms. But let's disregard this error for now.
Okay.
So let's turn the focus now on the .NET app. And let's do the exact same thing. So let's start with the same drive, and let's see how fast we can get through the through the crawling here. And I just wanna highlight the folder that you see now, which is way more than that, the one that we saw before in for .NET Framework, right?
Right. And just to clarify that, what we're saying is that the dialogue, the modal dialogue with exactly the same code is different if you're in .NET than if you're in Framework, because it's been updated. So there's a few things in WinForms that have been updated going to .NET. And one more thing on this, in case you you're thinking, oh, well, what about Windows caching? Is that making this a really unfair comparison? We actually warmed the machine up right before we started the talk so that it wouldn't be an unfair comparison with one trying to set the caches up and one not. So these ran this right before we started. And so now we have one. And Klaus, can you move that so we can see the timing for the framework?
Sure.
I believe it was 1 minute and 12 seconds. And then this one is 34 seconds. That's actually, we've seen between about 37 and 50%, maybe a little over 50%. This one is a little over 50%. That's the range we've seen on this. And it depends on what else is going on in the machine.
And this that's really something that we should keep in mind, that we're getting, I mean, as I said before, we have the exact same code. We didn't do anything with it.
Yes.
We just, you know, put the code in a .NET 5 form, and we're getting double the speed. And I think that is absolutely amazing. And that is one really important reason to consider to go forward with that.
Right.
And it's not the only advantage. So,
we've already seen three advantages: the high DPI, the better dialogues, and faster speed. Those are the three things we've seen already. But I have a feeling you have more to show us.
Well, yes, but as I said, it's not the only advantage. And the reason for that is that .NET, actually, in contrast to .NET Framework, is actively developed. .NET is constantly getting new features. And what's useful for this particular app is a comparatively new feature. Well, it is a little bit older, but it is comparatively new in .NET Core and .NET 5, which is called File System Enumerable. And it's just an option for .NET apps to really, really quickly iterate through folders and subfolders and find files. And on top, it is way easier to handle than the old .NET Framework version, which relied on file info and directory info. So let me close this.
So because right now the files match exactly, the code is exactly the same, we're gonna have to go in and make some changes so that the .NET app will run slightly different code than the framework app in order to take advantage of this file enumeration, which is new in .NET.
Exactly. So, and with this, I'm going to open this code file, which is called Lightning Fast File Item Enumerator. I like the naming. It's cool, isn't it? And we immediately see that two things stand out here. First, the code is grayed out. And secondly, there is this conditional compilation directive on the top of the file, which just permits this code block to be compiled for .NET 5 or greater. Now, what does this mean? So when we look at the project definition, which is here, then we see that this class library actually doesn't have a framework definition in the target framework moniker, that's here, but two. And what And that is the reason why this moniker is also called not target framework, as in normal apps when you just start them from scratch. But if you look closely, it's called target frameworks, so plural. So what that means is we get actually two compiled assemblies, one for .NET Framework 4.8 and one for .NET 5. And if we now have a reference from another assembly, in our case, the actual apps, to this class library, then the build system automatically picks that version, which is, so to say, a little bit simplified said, makes the most sense. So although we have this one code base for the class library, our .NET 5 WinForms app gets the .NET 5 version of this class library, and our .NET 4.8 framework app actually gets the framework version of this class library. And think now, this is really an amazing tool for migrating desktop apps step by step into the modern world of .NET. I can do this practically risk-free by targeting and updating more and more code to its modern version, like I'm doing it here with my new file item enumerator. So let's switch back to this code file, and let's take a look at the framework selector here. So I can quickly choose which framework view on the code I want to have. So if I pick 4.8, then I see the framework view, and from that perspective, the code is grayed out. But then when I choose this this other framework, .NET 5, then the code gets enabled. I can see the .NET view on the code. And the conditional compilation directive now permits the code for .NET 5, and that means it gets compiled in that context. And so this is also no longer grayed out. Finally, let's make a change in the UI so we can actually opt into the usage of this alternative file system enumerator. So let's open the core designer, and I cheated here a little bit because I hid and already have a checkbox underneath this. Then there's another change that we need to make in the code to actually enable this checkbox so that it's getting taken into account. Let me do this real quick. And then let's just compile it so we see that the changes we just did, the enabling, are really working. So now there's one more thing, one more amazing thing, actually, that I'd like us to take a look on. And this is that we still have an ace up our sleeve when it comes to target framework. Remember the picture formats which we could not use? Well, we cannot use them with the Windows API, but we can use all the available graphics formats that Windows knows from the modern Windows API. And does this mean we need to give up now our WinForms app and start over with UWP or WinUI? Well, guess what? It does not. Because by including the Windows version of our target framework, Monica, we can get a large portion of the UWP APIs projected into our WinForms app. And we can then use them in the same way we would use them from inside UWP apps. And that again means we get access in WinForms to multimedia functionality or the sensors in whatever tablet or notebook our WinForms VB app runs on, and also to all the graphics formats that Windows supports. Now, to do that, let's first go into the VBproj file of our control library, which is this one. And now let's just put the version number of Windows behind the framework Monica. So this is this. So now let's go to our WinForms image loader framework class, which is also here in the control in the control library, which until now we used both from the framework app and the .NET 5 app, and make this class now exclusively available for .NET framework. And to this end, I just use this conditional compilation directive again. And finally, let's put this new UWP-based ImageLoader.net version into action. And for that, I'm reversing the commenting out of the thing. And so was one thing I need to check. Hold on a second. I need to save this project files to actually make this changes go into effect. So let's go back to the image loader here. And now when I change this now to 5.0, we see that we are enabling the new class. And what's really amazing is, I think, this is still a Windows Forms control library, but I'm using UWP APIs. And what the code actually does here is it is getting the bitmap bits via UWP methods of the file that we pass, and then we're converting the UWP bitmap back into the WinForms bitmap, return it, and use it. And then there's just one final step which is involved to get this new picture format feature ready to go, and that is, let's make our .NET 5 version also targeting this specific Windows version we just updated our libraries to. So I'm doing the same thing here. I'm taking the Windows version and put this in here. And as the demo guts are good now to us, we should be able to compile this.
So we just saved a few minutes by doing two things at the same time. We have both the using the file enumerator and the picture viewer at the same time, just because we knew this whole demo is really tight. And yeah. I think we're going to still be OK. Let's see how it goes.
OK. So first, let's use the new .NET file enumerator. And then let's crawl through the pictures again.
Uh-huh. And it was 34 seconds before. And which is pretty fast. So I'm hoping that we're still going to pick up a little bit of gain from this.
Which I'm is just afraid, to be honest, that that streaming at the same time just makes so much more time for the crawling. So we probably need to.
Right. So you can check this on your own apps. You may see we have been seeing more difference than this. It was about 20%. Not quite 20% right here. We've been seeing higher differences instead of the getting ready for this. So try it on your own apps. You know, we're definitely stretching things in this environment. So that is fantastic.
Let's try to see what we did with the image formats, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How do those images look?
So this R file, I think, is
now not work before.
Exactly the same file, right? I tried to open before. Yeah. This is one picture I did years ago with my Sony camera, and I did it in RAW format. So there's that. And then we have this new iPhone format, which is also can also display. And when Windows can display the format, then I can display it in the app.
Right. So this format is not available in all versions of Windows, the iPhone format. Sure. And so you might try this and fail on this, but succeed on some of the other formats, because what we're doing now is saying give us everything Windows has. So if Windows can do it, let us do it. And so we've made that jump, but we can't do more than what Windows can do.
And what's also important to know is Windows does not necessarily can do that out of the box. So I might have installed a couple of additional filters or codecs that came with my camera, but my point is, when we can use it in Windows, we can use it in the app, and that's the important takeaway for this.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not just the version of Windows; it's also the codecs that you've actually installed explicitly.
Exactly.
So that means you can see an awful lot of stuff. Then
But the amazing thing is I can, I mean, I didn't migrate this app to UWP, but if I wanted to do that, this is an absolute easy way to do it because I can add features more and more and more and finally make the switch, or I can live with those. I mean,
right.
If it's fine, right? I mean, there's not always the necessity really to
right.
migrate.
So we did this all in VB because VB is awesome.
Yes.
And but the only piece that was specific to VB for any C# developers that have been listening in was the application events. So you're going to just set HiDPI a little differently. You're going to do that in your submain, and you want to do that before you open your first form. So also, if you're some VB developers don't use the application events, they also use a submain. If you do that, just make sure you get the HiDPI setting before you hit your first form, or it will be ignored. And I think that's the end of our demo, and we can take some questions. What do you think, Klaus?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, Javier, are you still there?
I am.
All right.
All right. I just wanted to bring up the questions here. So I think the big gotcha here with this presentation is the multiple targets.
Yeah. So
right?
we wanted to bring that in and,
yeah.
and show that succeeding. Yeah.
In particular, since like, you know, Klaus showed is that now you can actually see that in Visual Studio. I remember how many times I had so much gray code in different files when you're
yeah.
trying to target
yeah.
one specific, framework or not. So that's great. We have a question here for Jadin, who wants to know what happens when you choose multiple target frameworks like we did in the demo 4.8 and 5.0 with its NuGet package references. Does it affect the packaging? Does it affect while packaging the app?
Well, actually, so do you want to?
No, you go ahead with this one.
Okay, so I'm still sharing, right? And I just opened the branch here from my generic assembly. And so the thing is that I have actually two branches here. One is in the generic library. One is for .NET 4.8 and one is for .NET 5. And if I wanted to pick a NuGet package now, they would go. Their respective versions would go under each respective branch, so to say.
Oh, gotcha.
And it would work as if I had two different two libraries. So that's basically
yeah.
the answer.
Or it would essentially it would behave like if you had two different projects standalone with a copy
yeah.
of the file, right? Essentially, project X that targets 4.8 will have its project references and NuGet references, and 5 will have its own.
Exactly.
Right.
Perfect.
And same for C#. That is for both.
Right, because it's a framework level thing
it
for
is.
Visual
it
Studio,
is a,
right?
It's a Visual
to be perfectly honest, and this is a tip as a takeaway that from what I did when I wrote the app, sometimes it's really helpful when things get a little bit messy. So all of a sudden I'm seeing a compile error. Sometimes it cannot hurt to just restart Visual Studio for a second, especially when I really messed. With adding reference, take away reference, adding other reference, and just trying out and see what I actually going to, and then I in two or three cases I ended up where I was thinking, hey, what's going wrong here, and then I just restarted Visual Studio, and everything worked out fine. So just as a tip, just as a takeaway.
Yeah. Well, that's also great because the thing about it here is that you are now literally compiling your application against two different frameworks, and you have them both available. In the same code base, rather than trying to do all the hoops and everything else that we used to do back in the day.
Yes.
So
yeah.
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that's great. So, well, anything else more do you want to add? We have like 30 seconds left.
No more questions. We got it.
That was it. That was. I think people were just kind of trying to understand. It's like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're bending time and light at the same time, and people were just.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah. And so the only thing I'd add is that for some simple things that don't need any any of the extras, you can also use. Still can use .NET Standard. So we're not saying .NET Standard has never role. We're just saying. Don't feel like that's the only route,
right.
Because sometimes you want to get in and and do more. And this is a pretty rich project. And and we've all got our Twitter handles up there. Mine's
right.
pretty straightforward, and Klaus is just his last name, and so we're pretty easy to find. If you want to reach out on Twitter about any of this.
Right. And then after this, if anybody who's watching has any specific questions that comes up or watches later, okay. make sure you tweet at them so that way they can get back to you. So they're pretty responsive. So perfect. Well, Kathleen and Klaus, thank you so much for taking the time to show us all these great features and kind of get us up to speed of what's available out there for both VB.NET and C#.
Yeah.